Hey, welcome into Positive Light. We're bringing a positive influence in this world and into your life. And hi, I'm Bob Miles. And today's episode is going to be on learning my true identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ is a function of our relationship with Him. Knowing our authority and dominion in Jesus Christ makes us aware of whom we are in Him. Embracing the authority that in Jesus reveals to us what our true identity is in Him. Our identity in Christ is a function of our relationship with Him. So knowing your God-given identity gives you validation and increases your faith. When you know that God validates you, you're no longer worried about your performance. You know that you're already equipped to do what God is calling you to do, and you have faith that He will do the work through you. And from Rick Warren, he says, knowing your true identity determines your destiny. Your identity determines your destiny. That's a pretty big statement. But in the life of Moses, we see that it's true. Once Moses realized who he was, his life took a whole new direction. Hebrews 11:27 says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who was invisible. Learning your true identity does two things. It gives you the courage to let go of the past, and it gives you the courage to walk into the future. Moses left the land of Egypt. He had the courage to let go of his past. In the Bible, Egypt always represents slavery and bondage to something. So here's the question. What's your Egypt? What's enslaved and controlling you? Do you have the courage to walk away from it? Knowing your true identity gives you courage. And next, he kept right on going. He had the courage to walk into his future, his destiny. Knowing your identity gives you the courage to walk into a new destiny. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, from 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you receive Jesus by faith, God forgives your sins. He gives you a whole new identity in Christ. People sometimes call it being born again. It's a fresh start, a clean slate, a new destiny. Once Moses discovered his true identity, he focused on his destiny. He was like an Olympic runner who doesn't look to the right or left, but just looks ahead to the finish line. Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. And Colossians 3:1 puts it this way, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. When God has given you a new identity, you can focus on the long term, not on other people's priorities or opinions, but on the realities of heaven and the race God has given you to run. Know your identity, walk away from your past, move forward to your destiny. The question of identity is a simple one. You think that we would be able to give a quick, straightforward answer to an inquiry like this, who are you? And yet, this question, the question of identity, is an increasingly relevant one. Nationalism, privilege, ancestry, gender, politics, all these cultural discussions have an element of identity at their core. Now, like never before, we seem to be asking that question not just about others, but about ourselves. Who am I? We ask. To what do I belong? The answer had no doubt fluctuated for me over time. As it has for me, who am I? Probably you answered that question differently in middle school than in high school, different in college than in your first job, and still different if you are married and are in the middle of parenting kids. The Bible, too, has an answer to that question. But the Bible not only answers the question of who am I, it also answers the question of who are we? Not just individuals, but together as Christians, and here's one of the places where it does. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of One who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles and to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. Out of 1 Peter 2:9-12. So that's who we are, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, those who have received mercy. But why does it matter? Why is it important that we know who we are as Christians? So let's go over 6 reasons why knowing and understanding our identity as Christians deeply matters. The first is our identity tells us where we belong. We need to belong, to identify with a group of people, to love what they love and value what they value. And that's a question we seem to always be seeking to answer. For in all of us, there is a desire to belong, to know the inside jokes, to be accepted, to be deeply known. This question of identity answers that question for us. Where do we belong? We belong to the people of God. Our days of being on the outside looking in are over. This is good news. This is news of freedom. It means we don't have to try and figure out what group to identify with on a daily basis. It means we don't have to be enslaved with the pressure of constant self-discovery or renovation. It means that no matter what job we have, no matter how much money we have, no matter what title we have, and even no matter how we feel, the question of who we are has already been answered, and it's been answered like this. You are mine, and by corollary, you are with us. And the second reason is our identity tells us we are wanted. Can you just breathe that in for a second with me? You are not only loved, you are not only accepted, but you are wanted. As silly as it is, the image that comes to my mind in the pressure cooker of like elementary school playground when teams are being chosen, now perhaps you were always the best athlete on the playground, and you spent these moments thinking, which one of these teams is going to win? Because that's the team that's choosing me. But the rest of us spent those agonizing moments sizing up everyone else out there on the field thinking, is there anyone for sure that will be chosen after me? Because I don't want to be the last one. So knowing your identity means knowing that you are wanted. That God has not just settled for you, but he has in fact chosen you. Oh friends, it's such a wonderful thing to be wanted, and that is what you find here. In this chosen people, a people who once were on the outside but have been chosen to come in. And the third is our identity puts a weapon in our hands. So knowing your identity helps you fight, and we need to fight. That's because there is a huge difference between knowing the truth and feeling the truth. You know that you are a member of the chosen race, a stranger and alien in the world, the royal priesthood. But chances are, you're not going to wake up feeling that way tomorrow morning. You will wake up feeling despondent, left out, put aside, stepped over, and it is a moment when all of us will be tempted to be victimized by our own feelings. Here's the thing about feelings, though. They are valuable for many things and in many ways, but they are completely unreliable when it comes to spiritual truth. This is one of the ways that Christians stand apart from the rest of the world. It's that we understand that our feelings, too, must be brought under the authority of Jesus as Lord. So the question becomes for us not who do we feel like we are, but who does Jesus declare us to be? Identity is not a matter of feeling or even a choice. Identity is a matter of declaration. We fight our feelings with the knowledge of Jesus' declaration of our identity. And number 4 is our identity gives confidence to our actions. Imagine this. Imagine that you've been invited to a dinner with important dignitaries. Maybe this is a state dinner. So you go and rent a tux or buy a new dress and you show up. And immediately you know you're in over your head. The conversation around you seems to be about geopolitical politics, deep economic issues, and other such things that you don't know much about. You don't even know which fork to use with which course. You might end up doing the right thing, but you would do it with shaking hands and a nervous stomach. That's because you know you don't normally attend these kind of things. As cool as it is to be there, you feel a little bit out of place. The point of this illustration is this. Knowing your identity in Christ gives you confidence in your actions. When you begin to accept that God has declared you to be a royal priesthood, a chosen people, His own possession, you start to act in godly confidence. Because you have been made new by Jesus, the living stone, every time you act in godly love, joy, peace, patience, you are actually acting in conformity with who you really are. That means those moments when you show patience to your children, when you display integrity at your job, when you say no to things like sexual temptations, you can do that in confidence because you're not just acting like someone that you know in your heart you're really not. You are living out the person God has remade you to be in Christ. Conversely, every time we choose sin, it's as if we're putting on a mask and acting like someone that we're not. And the fifth reason is our identity makes us long for home. Knowing our identity also makes us long for home. Let me take you back to that state dinner. Sure, it's a cool experience, but in the middle, can you see yourself thinking how nice it will be to be at home, in your home, with the smells you know, the comfortable seat on the couch, the place where you know you are safe to be yourself? This is a longing inside of all of us, to be at home. And for the Christian, that longing is even more pronounced because we are not at home. Peter tells us that our whole experience on earth is as a stranger, an alien, as a people who doesn't quite fit. We don't fit with the desires of this world. The goal of this culture, the priorities of those around us, that's because our home is somewhere different. That sense inside you that there is more, that's a good thing, for that is the Spirit of God reminding you that your identity and your citizenship is not here. C.S. Lewis would say it like this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Oh, to be at home. But in the meantime, our actions, in which we are confident because we know who we are, should reflect not this world, but the kingdom of heaven for which we are bound. And it's okay to be different, and do so because you know who you really are and where and to whom you really belong. And number six is our identity reveals us our deeper purpose. The greater end of our identity and therefore our actions as Christians is the glory of God, and there is no greater end than that. Think about the context of these verses with me. Remember that these Christians were being persecuted and maligned because of all kinds of rumors floating around about them. Peter does not tell them to organize and launch a Truth About Christians campaign. He does not tell them to conduct great rallies of self-defense. No. Peter tells them simply to remember who they are, to live out who they are, and know that those same people who are maligning them will not only see but benefit from their faithful acts of godly kindness and grace and glorify God. So may it be with us today. So next I want to introduce a song, and the song is called He Knows My Name by Tommy Walker, and here it is.
Time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name, He knows my every thought, He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a father. No, never leave me, no matter where I go. I'm so glad that I can say he knows my name. Oh, yes, he does. He knows my every thought. And he sees each tear that falls and hears me when my name. Can you believe it? He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And he hears me when
Hey, what a great song by Tommy Walker. And here's what Tommy said regarding this song. I originally wrote this song in 1996 to accompany my pastor's sermon with the same name. I am so humbled and grateful that God has chosen to use it as one of his instruments to reveal the Father's love and bring his healing. One of the greatest truths of Christian faith is that the God of the Bible is a personal God who knows us and makes himself known. At the core of who we are, more than anything else, we long to be known and loved, and that is exactly what we are. Through Jesus Christ, God has provided the way for us to enjoy this personal relationship with him. Lord, I pray that you will touch people on the deepest level through this song. Remind each of us that we are never forgotten, unwanted, and unloved no matter who we are, who has rejected us, or what we have done. Amen. And out of 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And from John 10:3, He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And from Isaiah 43:1, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And so next, I'd like to read you a true story called Something That Lasts by Ariel de la Pena. So in the years that I ran with one of the most notorious gangs in Southern California, the highs were unbelievable. I had the world by the tail. I took cocaine, sold cocaine, and was raking in tons of money. I was covered in menacing tattoos and felt the power of my ability to intimidate. I'd rule over dudes with might and money and would have no problem beating down somebody who was willing to stand up against me or think they could step into my world and not pay for it. The money and power brought lots of women. I had my choice of them. What was not to love about where I stood in life? I had money in my pocket, cocaine in my car, a girl waiting in an apartment, and tough guys who showed me respect. It was everything I wanted, except for one thing. None of the highs lasted very long. My whole life, I angled for everything I now had. It's a strange realization that comes over a person because one wonders what else is there. Then, aren't those things the keys to lasting happiness? And yet, the more I got, the less happy I felt. I was starting to feel miserable. But then it got worse. My wife, yes, I was married, decided she couldn't take my lifestyle anymore and filed for divorce. I was devastated. Then someone told me that the Bible said that God hates divorce. I had grown up in a Catholic church, so I grabbed a Bible and went to a nearby church. It happened to be Rocky East County, to find an answer to this question. God, if you hate divorce, then why are you allowing it in my life? Of course, the answer is God will allow me to be divorced if I'm doing everything to cause a divorce. The fact that I didn't figure that out will show you how much I didn't know about the scriptures back then. But an interesting thing began to happen. I began to enjoy myself. I loved the music and even started raising my hand. Pastor Miles was funny, and his messages were speaking to me right where I was. I felt good to be at church and began to look forward to returning. Yet no matter how much tugging my heart would experience, when the altar call was given, I simply couldn't get myself to go down. How I wanted to, I just couldn't get out of my seat. One day, at my niece's birthday party, when my cousin introduced me to a guy named Travis, who at the time was the campus pastor for Rock Church San Ysidro. He was a cool dude, and as I learned that he did for a living, I told him that I was attending the Rock East County campus. Great. How do you like it? Travis asked. I like it, I replied. It's a great and all. It makes me feel good, but I wish I could feel like that every day. You want to feel that way every day? He asked. Well, let me ask you this. Have you received Jesus in your heart? No, man, I haven't. Would you like to and feel that way every day? I said yes to Pastor Travis, and as soon as I bowed my head and he began to pray, I lost it. People were all around having a great time, yet all of a sudden I broke into a sorrowful weeping. I can't imagine what it must have been like for everyone there. There was this tattooed dude with a beer in his one hand, crying like a baby, and snot running down his face. I cried for all that I had done, and for the hope of becoming clean of all my sins in Jesus. As soon as I could, I began to attend Pastor Travis's church, and I started to serve the very first day. Then, with all the opportunities to attend different events, men's group, and Bible studies throughout the week, I was filled with joy of Jesus every day of the week. I couldn't get enough of my new life in Christ. I may have been in the process of losing my wife, but Jesus and the church had become my new spouse. I just wanted to be in His presence and lap up the love and excitement He was offering me. A few years later, as I was working as an apprentice plumber and studying to get a certification, I heard that The Rock was looking for a new associate campus pastor, so I applied. Of course, I knew I had no experience and that The Rock had many qualified candidates for this position, but somehow I just knew that God had something great in mind for me, and that the job would be mine. I felt so sure about it, in fact, that I quit my job as an apprentice plumber. You don't have another job. What are you doing? My friends on the job site would ask, outraged when I told them I was turning in my wrench. But deep in my heart, and against all conventional wisdom, I just knew God was teeing me up for this, and that is what has happened. I now live the dream every day as I read the Word, stay in God's presence, and serve His people as an associate campus pastor of Rock Church San Ysidro. It is so exciting, rewarding, and fulfilling to reach others with the love of Jesus, that the truth is I would do this job for free. Best of all, I get to tell people with empathy and understanding that while all of their pursuits may seem like they will bring happiness, only Jesus' love will never fade with time. Finally, something that lasts. So next, I want to read you a little quote by Mother Teresa, and it's called You and Them. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Again, that's from Mother Teresa. So I'm going to end today's episode on an audio clip called Our Identity in Christ. And here it is.
The world has a way of labeling people. Our enemy Satan, as a roaring lion, is on the prowl, convincing people his label is true and permanent. He seeks to defeat us either through shame at our label or pride in our label. But God provides for us a new identity. He calls us loved, forgiven, justified, accepted in Christ. He calls us by our names, and He calls us to Himself. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid our sins in full. The redemption He offers is so much more than just erasing the sins of our past. It's also giving us a new identity, today and forever. Yes, Satan continues to battle. Christians and churches sometimes struggle. The courts and legislatures are attempting to redefine right and wrong. But the gospel changes lives. And it is only the gospel that can change lives. The world and the devil may want to label us, but it is the Creator who gets to define and name His creation. You are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are.
So that does bring the end of our episode today. And my closing prayer is always is that God blesses the journey you're on with Him and that you embrace that path. So next week's episode is going to be on listening to God. So you can connect with me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Anywhere you download your podcast, you can get Positive Light for free. So everybody had a great week. God bless, and we'll catch you next week.